from Peru to Mar-a-Lago. Change does not come from the past. November 15, 2024. It's been hardly a week since the election of President-elect Donald Trump in the United States. And it's already clear that big changes are afoot. The hysteria about some of Trump's cabinet picks continues, in particular around the role of Tulsi Gabbard as the future director of national intelligence, a decision that could potentially transform the United States presidency's relationship to the intelligence community for the first time since the 1963 assassination of John F. Kennedy. There are, of course, plenty of other cabinet picks which are horrible, but the fact remains that a potential sea change exists, and it is precisely for this reason that there is such a clamoring about the neoliberal establishment. The November 11 meeting between Elon Musk and Iran's representative to the UN, Amir Saeed Iravani, is the only latest development in this domain, as Hussein Mousavian, Middle East and nuclear policy specialist at Princeton University, former spokesman of Iran's nuclear dossier, wrote on X, President Biden told President-elect Trump that Iran is the most immediate threat to America, but Donald Trump showed his first initiative in a different way. This is a sign that Donald Trump wants to save America from the mire of endless wars and hostilities, ending several decades of hostility between America and Iran is possible. I hope Donald Trump succeeds. Will Trump actually maintain his promise to end wars in both Ukraine and in Southwest Asia? That remains to be seen, but he deserves to be given the chance to do so and to be held to account if not. However, there is another factor currently at play on the stage of history today, as Helga Zeplarouche noted during a meeting of the International Peace Coalition on Friday, November 15th, the strategic situation has dramatically changed since Trump left the White House 4 years ago, with a new element clearly being the existence of the BRICS nations and the overall rise of the Global South. Indeed, on November 14, Chinese President Xi Jinping and Peruvian President Dina Boluarte inaugurated the new Chancay port in Peru, the $3.5 billion mega port that will transform South America's economy as a whole. The significance of this development was not missed by the Western Atlanticists. Biden will arrive in Peru alongside Xi for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit with little of substance to offer. The Atlantic Council complained, adding there's no doubt about which of the two leaders' countries is ascendant in the region. This is part and parcel of the same dynamic seen just last month in Kazan, Russia, where an, quote, isolated Putin hosted the annual BRICS summit, which now has 22 member countries representing 4.7 billion people, and another 30 countries having expressed interest in joining. Lyndon LaRouche always insisted that sense perception is a lie and merely a footprint of the real world unfolding unseen before us. Therefore, it would be a mistake to simply define the present basis of trends from the past, or to assume someone will always act in the same way as they had previously. Reality doesn't work that way, and most especially, neither do human beings. The world into which President-elect Trump is now walking has changed fundamentally and will never allow the United States-led world order to go back to the good old days. Any effort to do so will likely only lead to a global thermonuclear war. However, if forward-looking statesmen and stateswomen work to craft a vision for a new world, then we could indeed be on the cusp of a new era, which, as President Putin described, should be akin to a polyphonic world community. In the International Peace Coalition meeting Friday, Zep LaRouche laid out the LaRouche movement's initiative to seize this moment of opportunity with the incoming administration. Why not take a completely different approach? If the West, that's the United States, with the Trump administration and the European nations would say, we have to do something to alleviate this incredible issue of poverty, of war-torn nations where people cannot live, why don't we put our efforts together and really go for a massive economic build-up program in Africa, in Latin America, in the Middle East, and put our capacities together? For example, in Africa, you need electrification for about 600 million people who have no electricity. Then you have certain game-changer projects like TransAqua. That takes longer, but it is an absolute game-changer for all of Africa, as well as the Inga Dam. In Latin America, the APEC meeting just took place, where Xi Jinping and Biden both participated. But Xi Jinping and the president of Peru opened the Chancay port, which is the first deep-water port for Latin America. It is potentially connected to the Bi-Oceanic Railway, which would connect the Atlantic and the Pacific. It would basically be the artery for a lot of infrastructure integration for all of Latin America. Likewise for the Middle East, we have proposed since a while the Oasis Plan to create lots of new fresh water, which could become part of the general development plan of the entire Middle East. That's the whole purpose of the BRICS. And they want to not only be just raw materials exporters, but become full set economies. They want to have the value chain in their country. They want to become middle level income countries in the short term. They want to build the education system, the health system, the infrastructure, industry, agriculture, so that there is a reason for the people who are now fleeing as refugees to stay home, have job opportunities, and help to build up their own countries. Isn't that what everybody wants? Who wants to be a refugee in a country where they are not received in a friendly way? If there is the opportunities to stay home and build up their own economy, it would be in the absolute self-interest of the United States, of the European nations, of the countries involved and affected in the Global South, to all join hands in doing that. The argument that it takes too long is not really valid, because it's a question of giving a sign of hope. Once people would see that there is a serious attempt to do that, there would be in the beginning the verbal commitment of the leaders of all of these countries that they will make such a crash program. The mood would change immediately. There would be a hope for a better world. And it really would end a chapter of colonialism, which is really something we should draw the conclusion and make a more just approach for the world, for the whole world. This will be the subject of the Schiller Institute conference, In the Spirit of Schiller and Beethoven, All Men Become Brethren, over December 7th to the 8th, featuring high-level speakers from around the world as well as a breakthrough pamphlet to be released in the next 10 days. So stay tuned and organize to make it happen.